it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
At Blinds.com, it's not just about window treatments. It's about you, your style, your space, your way. Whether you DIY or want the pros to handle it all, you'll have the confidence of knowing it's done right. From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
A very high expectation of what I've always thought this franchise is, and that was the best franchise in sports.
In the moments where we are now, as players, we got to execute. Every day, I'm so fortunate to be a part of this team.
This is 49ers Plus Minus.
Hey, everybody, Tim Kawakami here, 49ers Plus Minus. All we do is emergency episodes, Sparrows. I don't think I do anything else but 49ers Plus Minus emergency episodes. I don't write anymore. I don't do my own show. I don't do North and South. It's just one of these things every freaking day, it seems like. I'm here with my co-host, the Athletics Man, Sparrows. Today, at long last, the 49ers Jake Moody experience is over. They're cutting him, releasing him, waving him, whatever phrase you wish to make. They have not. They officially did it today, right? Just now, they officially did it, right?
They waved him today. They have not signed his replacement, however.
Have not signed his replacement. Reports Eddie Pinheiro is being brought in for a workout. Is that supposed to be today, Barros?
Assume it would be. Unclear. Okay. Unclear. And also unclear whether he's one of, you know, five guys coming in. Yep. So I don't think it's quite in stone that they're signing Eddie Pinheiro. Makes a ton of sense if they were, but that hasn't happened yet.
Greg Joseph is not called, so that's interesting. It's a whole other interesting thing. They bring him in for the camp competition and then cut him, and then they cut Jake Moody, and they don't bring Greg Joseph back. Maybe they just didn't like him. Interesting stuff all around, and yet another interesting development for the 49ers. It's all interesting developments for the 49ers. This is like our fourth emergency episode in like 3 weeks, but off we go. Okay, we'll just go. Jake Moody, the ground began to shake beneath his feet, even in Kyle Shanahan's mind, which we know that was the guy who was backing him and was not going to cut him all this time. And finally, a little wiggle room over the last few days. What do you think pushed him over the edge, Matt Barrows?
I mean, at this point, stage, it would have been irresponsible to keep him on. He's obviously rattled right now. He's inconsistent right now. You observe that in pregame warmups. So you know you can't run an NFL team with that as your kicker. And by the way, this is a team that now is in serious problem or has serious problems offensively. So you can imagine there's going to be a lot of close games, just like the one you saw Sunday in Seattle, coming up over the first half of the schedule. So, you know, you can imagine a lot of games being decided by a field goal. You know, if the 49ers had lost on Sunday, that would have been the decisive factor. Two field goals that did not go in. One of which was a chip shot. So, you know, you miss a chip shot like that, and it just underscores the lack of confidence, the lack of security you have at that position. They had to do that. This guy, Eddie Pinheiro, you know, 81-82% field goal efficiency over his career. The stat that I thought was interesting is that he's had basically double the number of attempts over his career as Jake Moody, and he's got fewer misses than Jake Moody. And here's the point, and one I've made a number of times, but it's just underscored. Pinheiro came into this league as an undrafted rookie. He was brought in by the Oakland Raiders back in 2018, still the Oakland Raiders at that point. And he didn't get his first opportunity until a year later with the Chicago Bears, and he's bounced around to the Jets, where he played for Brant Boyer, most recently in Carolina. He's done the typical kicker journey where you have to fight for your spot. You have to be good. And that's the opposite of Jake Moody, the third rounder. You're handed the job. You are placed into a quote unquote kicker competition that ends after a week and a half. This guy has kind of been through the ringer, and I think Jake Moody will eventually do that. You know, he's going to land somewhere for sure. Whether it's this season, later this season, next year, you just have to go on that circuit, just like every other kicker does. Robbie Gould wasn't aces right away. You have to put in the time and get bloodied up. And, this is the start of the Jake Moody bloodying up period. And, we'll see whether he comes through it.
Yeah, I think the irony is that the 49ers tried to jump that, try to not go through that after having Robbie Gould. They didn't want to go through a process where they found a journeyman who maybe wasn't great, and they have to go find another journeyman until they find the right guy. They just want to skip right over that and did it to the excess. Let's go so crazy. Not a six-round pick, which is high for a draft for a kicker. Not a fifth round, not a four. Let's a top 100 pick for a kicker. Let's just forget about it. It ends all discussion. This is our guy. And I know it does look like in some ways it was them trying to justify the selection over and over again. It had to be right. They had to be right. But they've gone back on that. They refigured things out after picking Trey Lance and trading three first-round picks for him. They did have Brock Purdy. Dante Pettis, Trey Sermon. We can go over all these guys that have been top 100, top 120 picks that they've not gone to the wire for every single time, yet they would for Moody. I think it wasn't justifying the pick. It was justifying that he had this talent that was worth the pick. Now, I know I'm splitting hairs here, but it was like, okay, he's got so much talent. We see it on the field. If we start going through these Pinero and they don't have that talent, and there won't be the guys that we can count on. Once this guy figures it out, look at him in practice, then we'll just have a guy who can just power through 55-yarders every single time. That was the thought process. But that's what, in the end, screwed them, I think, and maybe put a harsh light on Moody that he couldn't handle. Now, I would say if you can't handle it, then you're not good. But maybe he'll get it right somewhere else. But is that, like, because he was protected, because he had this talent, then we don't need to put him through this. That means he's just better than everybody. And if he misses, it doesn't matter because he's going to make. And if he misses another one, it doesn't matter because he's going to make. That's what screwed this whole thing up. It's because Shanahan doesn't care about kicking. And then they went to the exact extreme, so they would never have to think about the kicker. That made this completely the wrong situation for somebody like Jake Moody. And let's just say, it's not a character assassination, say that he's weak in as a kicker, just being able to steady himself. Again, a bad pregame warm-up, as you and I have noted time and again, almost always led to a bad game. And I don't know if that's the way it should work for a kicker. It should be, I'm so good that I'm going to keep making. Robbie Gould was just going to make every kind of a jerk.
He was knocking down cheerleaders at halftime. That's how confident he was.
He's just a bit of a jerk, but that's okay. This is competitive jerk, let's put it that way.
Competitive jerk. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, but that's what you want. You know what? Someone who you just plop out there, he's going to make a 42-yarder. Absolutely. He's going to make a 27-yarder 100% of the time. And Jake Moody just wasn't that guy. And I just think they got themselves into it by completely trying to jump past all this stuff, as you so accurately described, the kicker journey. They didn't want to go through that. They don't want to accidentally grab a guy who's just terrible and, oh, my God, we have to get another kicker and then another kicker. But my point was when Moody got hurt last year, they were grabbing kickers and they all made their kicks, and Moody did not. It is pointed out accurately that he was kicking fine until he hurt his ankle, trying to make that kickoff tackle or making it, and then came back, and he was just awful once he came back. Was he 9 misses in the last 9 games, whatever it was? I think, yeah, 11 misses in his last 10 games, if you count last game. That's crazy. That's unbelievable. He cannot – that's not sustainable. Do you think it was the ankle, or do you think it was something else that changed his the route of his career?
Well, I mean, it was the ankle last year, and then in the offseason, he changes his approach to kicking. A kicker who changes his approach to kicking. I mean, nothing underscores a lack of confidence, you know, more than that. He felt like he needed to switch things up. So to me, that's a big deal. You know, that was Vic Tafer got that scoop back in the summer. And boy, it seemed like kind of, you know, nothing that a kicker who is confident in his ability would do. Yep. I mean, if you're a major league pitcher, you're not, you know, suddenly going sidewinder 3 years into your career. You know, your point about Trey Sermon and Ty Davis Price and Jalen Hurd, and the list goes on and on. Danny Gray,
Drake Jackson.
Those are guys who are well within Kyle Shanahan's wheelhouse. He is an expert on running backs and wide receivers. So if a guy isn't performing, if he doesn't have it, Kyle Shanahan knows that early on. For kickers, you have to rely on everybody else. I mean, there's no way Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch concluded that Jake Moody was a special talent coming out of Michigan. I mean, they were relying on other people telling them that. And you know, I think that's part of this whole problem. They don't know, really. And so you have to lean on, you know, sort of the quote-unquote experts. And, you know, to their credit, I did a lot of stories on Jake Moody back in 2023. And all of the kicking experts, and there's a small number of them, and they work with all of these kickers, really thought that he was special. Like, he was the most special guy in the last 10 years. The asterisk here is that, like Roberto Aguayo, and people said, okay, he's nothing like Roberto Aguayo. He's better than Roberto Aguayo. He kicked at Michigan. He grew up in the state of Michigan. He's used to difficult situations. Aguayo kicked at Florida, in the state of Florida. But again, that extra layer of pressure that you have when you're a third-round pick, a top 100 pick, you know, you're already under enough pressure. You've already got you know, scrutiny, and you know, NFL situations are much harder than college, and now you have this too. It just doesn't help the kicker. So why do it? Why not just go the undrafted route, the journeyman route? It's a proven route, and you know, you end up maybe with a Chase McLaughlin after he goes through that, and now he's Steady Eddie. Hindsight 2020. A lot of people though were saying this back in 2023 when they used that pick on him. It also, yet another pick from that draft class that is just not very good. You know, the 49ers have to make up for that in these last two classes. 24 looking good, 25 looking good, but we have to wait and see. But that's what happens when you have, you know, it's a third round pick. You could have picked a tight end there. Mm-hmm. That was a draft deep in tight ends. You know, they ended up taking Jair Brown. And is that Danny Gray?
I think it was Danny Gray in the third round. Yeah, I think it was. So.
Yeah, maybe not. And then Moody later on. So, boy, not a great showing.
Now that's whenever I say, oh, they'll replace every one of these draft picks. That's what they'll do. They got these draft picks. He's like, okay, let's see. Nobody gets them perfect. But I just can't ever remember when you can just plop in a pick no matter what. I'll just say, you know, the Kyle Shanahan response to my question on Sunday was, my question, was there any question that, Jake Moody will be your kicker next week. It's a no question. And that seemed definitively to be the answer. We know now that there clearly were questions. We'll give Eric Branch credit for asking the follow-up, like, why is there no question? He said, well, it's the way that question was asked. He's blaming my question. Fine, whatever. I think it was a pretty good question. And that's you ask me now, I'll say it. And you ask me later, you know, I'll have more things to say, whatever. It was a little bit of a backup. Then clearly on the conference call yesterday was even more evaluation. We're getting everybody's opinion. You know, interesting, it's kind of the phrasing he used for the Mac Jones, Trey Lance decision. Like, we're going to get everybody's opinion here. I might have one opinion. Other people have another opinion. I'm not saying it was just like that. I'm saying that's the last time I kind of heard Kyle talk like that, because normally he just makes the freaking decision, or John makes a decision with Kyle. I sense, again, give Eric Branch credit for going to the locker room and getting a real sense from the players that it was not sounding real great for him. Now, and why would it? The guy can't be relied for a 27-yard field goal. And as you and I talked about Sunday night, he was screwing up the kickoffs too. I guess two into the end zone. I thought it was three, but at least two in the end zone. That's not where you're supposed to put it. The make he made was wiggling way right from 34, whatever that was. Nick Bosa, when I asked him, was like, hey, you know, I support my teammates, but it's a cut and dry position, right? You make or you miss. I mean, that's his pretty, you know, he's not going to go out and say it, but the guy's missing kicks. Why should he still be on the team? If Shanahan was in the mood to get the sense of the team, and he clearly does, he talks to players all the time on the flight or whenever, I think he would have got that. I think that thing's been germinating for a while. Back to the Tampa Bay game, we saw Debo go off, and, you know, I mean, it wasn't great, but I understood Debo's emotions. The kicker can't make a kick. Almost lost the game. They probably should have lost that game because Moody could not make a kick.
And he ended up winning the game.
And I will go back and you know what I'm going to refer to is that ridiculous celebration after the 59 yarder in Las Vegas after he missed. And I just felt that was overcompensation. It was a sign of weakness, not the sign of strength that they think it was. It was way overboard.
It was a Bronx cheer of celebration.
Exactly. Go, you're so irony great. In it. Yeah, you're so great, kiddo. You just slap, you know what? You're great. And it wasn't, it was false, even if they meant it real. But it was what you do when you know somebody's weak and you're trying to kind of push him forward. But if you know he's weak, he doesn't belong in the NFL. And he did not belong in the NFL. I think he's proven that. I don't think it was just the ankle. I think he was not great the year before. He missed the extra point in the Super Bowl, as everyone will point out. It was a block, but I don't think that ball was elevated. He did make 250-yarders in that field goal. I'll give him credit. They were late field goals. Nobody's ever done that in a Super Bowl before. But the misses are bad, too. Those count. I always go back with Moody. The misses count, too. Everyone cites the makes. The misses count. And the misses count more and more as you get towards these important games, including the miss against Cleveland in his rookie season. This guy's been shaky, and I don't think Kyle Shanahan could look his players in the eye. Even if he was borderline or leaning towards getting rid of him, I think he would have been at some point wanting to keep him. I think in his heart he would have liked to keep him, but you just can't look Nick Bosa and Kyle Juszczyk and Fred Warner and Trent Williams in the eye and go, you know what, we're putting our best team on the field because this guy's on it. It's almost impossible to say that. I would have said that, you know me on this one, I would have said that last year. I think he was terrible last year. I think he's not a great kickoff guy. And this is back when kickoffs were just pounded as far as you can. He wasn't great at that either. So they might.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not get a better kicker. I mean, that's certainly possible, Barros, but I think it just had to end this thing where every kick was some sort of, you know, ruling on a decision they made 2 years ago, on a decision they made in the summer, on, you know, holding on to this guy who, not great, did not speak to reporters on Sunday. I didn't see him in the locker room. I don't think he was there when we got there. None of this is great. None of this is a sign of strength. They had to move on from it and then pick the right kicker now. It's up to them to, you know, it's like, it can't be like, oh, we couldn't find a guy. The Bills found Matt Prater when their guy got hurt. They're out there. Pick the right guy and let's keep going on, and we'll keep going on it. And if you got to make another change, make another change. I think they've been so afraid of going into this thing of picking another kicker that it just froze them with Jake Moody when they could not freeze, because the freezing is what was potentially was going to screw up a season.
Cameron Lachu was the third rounder. I'm sure a lot of people were howling that name after I said that. So it went, Jair Brown was the first third round pick. Jake Moody was the second third round pick. Cameron Lachu, who's now on the Eagles practice squad, I believe, is the third round pick. That draft also included Robert Beal Jr., who was a healthy scratch on Sunday. So not a great draft. If it is Eddie Pinheiro, he's been with Carolina most recently, which means that he's kicked in the Superdome a bunch of times. So I wonder if that's part of the rationale that, you know, at least for this upcoming game, he's going to be well suited for it. But yeah, I agree with everything you said. They've took a long time for them to learn this lesson. But I think they have. Boy, special teams, I mean, there's been one consistent issue for this team since 2017. It's that. And it needs to get better. And you know, we can include the kickoff coverage. I think the punt coverage was okay, although the punts weren't great. But, you know, that almost burned them at the end. It was a Chase Lucas kind of trip up. At the last second that prevented a big return in crunch time, which would have been, you know, the death knell for this team a year ago.
That would have been much like the Rams game last year. Yeah. I mean, outgained the other team by more than 200 or right about 200, which is almost an automatic win every single time, except for when the 49ers are screwing up on special teams, basically. Then they screw up on special teams, then you can lose that game. And they almost lost that game, thanks to the field goal misses and all those other things. And if Jace Tongas doesn't come up with that ball, if Brock Purdy doesn't put it exactly right there, they do lose this game. So many things up in play. You know, it makes me wonder if they had lost this game, I think Shanahan would have been really, really want to avoid cutting Moody just because he doesn't want to, like, knee-jerk blame. This is the guy to blame. I'm not that kind of guy. Probably still would have had to do it, but it's a little easier after a win. It's a little easier when, you know, you're kind of celebrating on the plane and just talking it over and being calm about it rather than kind of in the rash judgment of anger. But they still probably would have had to do it. This guy's missing field goals and just doesn't, you know, when he's not comfortable, it's all off. My point is, if everybody's accountable, they change the punter, they change the long snapper, they change the holder, who also happens to be the punter. They change the special teams coach. They changed the defensive coordinator. Why was Jake Moody the one who never was being looked at? Like, that doesn't work well. It just in the world of logic, that doesn't work well when, you know what, this guy's getting cut because he makes too much money and he wasn't productive. This guy's getting replaced because this other guy's better, and I don't care what, you know, where his draft choice was, we're going to go with whoever. And then this one, because he was drafted where he was or what they believe in him, it just didn't matter. And that comes up wrong. It's felt wrong for a while. We won't go on and on about the Moody thing, but you know I had to say something about this. I felt like just replaying what I said Sunday night, but it's what I feel, and it's what basically what turned out.
Is this going to be our last Moody discussion? I mean, Moody has given us so much material for this podcast. We should rename it the Money Moody podcast. Just in honor of
our guy,
Jake, who I think, you know, I don't know if he's going to kick again this season, but I guarantee you he's going to be part of some.
He's got a lot of talent.
Camp next year.
I know.
And he kicked a 59-yarder in the preseason.
I know the Chargers have a really good kicker, but I know the head coach there really likes Jake Moody. Well, that really is what hit me. I should have just hit it harder, but it wasn't a win. Is the Seahawks have Jason Myers, really good kicker.
Yeah.
Move down the field. He's going to make the kick, right? He's going to make the kick. You know he is. You just feel it. And the 49ers have a guy you're not sure if he's going to make it. He's probably going to miss it. And this is not – this is football games where those – that's plus three, minus three is immense. It's immense in every week. It's immense over the course of the season. You just couldn't keep doing that against teams that have better kickers. I don't know who New Orleans' kicker is, but he's better than Jake Moody. And then you go down the line of all the teams they're going to play in field goal games. They're going, like we saw, Buffalo's guy made the field goal at the end. We see teams making field goals. That's what they do because they're good. And the 49ers go, maybe, maybe not. But if he makes it, let's celebrate because he's the greatest kicker of all time. That part, I'm pretty good at spotting overcompensation. And that 59-yarder in Las Vegas was the classic overcompensation. And it just was too much. It felt overdone about a team that really wasn't sure about the guy. And guess what? He wasn't worth being sure about. There's a lot of other things going on, Barrow. George Kittle on injured reserve. I mean, it felt like it was he was straddling that. Could be 3 weeks, could be 4 weeks. I get, you know, these are going to be the week. He's going to miss at least three, so might as well get him out for four. I think the fourth one is that Monday, is that Thursday night game. So you're probably not rushing him back for that in L.A. on the turf. As I always say, people get hurt on the artificial turf. That's just they mentioned Ollie Purdy. We haven't even mentioned Brock Purdy is in question because he's got a hurt shoulder and a hurt toe. Again, and more turf injuries. You go up and play on the turf, your guys are going to get injured. And they play another one in New Orleans, probably less hard-hitting game than the Seahawks games always are, but beware of that. So what is the status of this roster right now with Kittle on IR? They signed Kendrick Bourne. They got too many receivers now, Barrows, again.
Well, they got rid of Robbie Chosen.
He was practice squad, but they got six on the active, and they've got DeMarcus Robinson coming back in 2 weeks, and they've got Jacob McCowan come back at some point, and they've got Brandon Ayuk coming back at some point. They've got a lot of guys. That's all right. They're not all great. You try to build up a depth there. So what is this like? What does their first and second and third down lineup look like with all these guys out?
Jordan Watkins could be back this week too. I don't know whether they trust a rookie who's missed a lot of time to get a lot of action right when he comes back. So basically it's Ricky Pearsall and, you know, a bunch of new guys.
Well, Jennings.
Well, we don't know about Jennings. Could miss the game too. It didn't look great on Sunday. I mean, he couldn't go back into the game. He couldn't catch a pass. And as you noted, that's probably the least strenuous thing he has to do with his shoulder, given what his game is all about. So let's just assume that Jennings doesn't play. Certainly has not been decided yet. So you got Pearsall. That's your guy. And he could be the X. I would imagine that Bourne is immediately in that lineup. A, because he's familiar with the offense, and B, because he's familiar with the potential quarterback in Mac Jones. Mm-hmm. He was Mac Jones's best target back in 2021. So I don't think that chemistry would take too long to rekindle. Can they do it in 1 week? I don't know. That's a tough ask. But it is sort of interesting. I guess this is irony. I don't know if this is the true definition of irony, but if it is Mac Jones played with a lot of 49ers backups in training camp this year and in the preseason. Well, guess what? Guess who's playing on Sunday? A bunch of 49ers backups. It's going to be, you know, I think Braden Willis at the very least will get elevated from the practice squad. He wasn't promoted today, but he could still get elevated on Sunday or on Saturday for the game. Braden Willis might have caught the most Mac Jones passes in training camp this year. Mac Jones liked to throw that type of pass. This year, you're going to love this line. I'm a Brian Thomas fantasy football owner. Okay. And Brian Thomas went nuts last year. But he only went nuts with Mac Jones throwing him the ball. When Mac Jones took over from Trevor Lawrence, he wasn't doing much. And then on Sunday, they didn't do anything together. They were terrible. So my conclusion is that, you know, Mac Jones was the key to Brian Thomas. So I think that, you know, the Mac Jones to Ricky Pearsall connection should be there. Ricky Pearsall's average reception on Sunday was something like 27 yards. I mean, it's like a gaudy number. My point being that Jones can throw the deep ball. He did it throughout the summer. So I think that that is something that the 49ers will not lose with him in the lineup. So it's going to be basically Christian McCaffrey, Ricky Pearsall, Kendrick Bourne, Braden Willis, and everybody. I'm including Jake in there. Jake the Savior Tonjes. So it's going to be a strange lineup no matter what. And it'll be interesting. I mean, this is probably the team you want to play at, mm-hmm. when you have all this going on. But, you know, it's still an NFL team. The Cardinals didn't go in there and just trounce them on Sunday. It was a bit of a struggle. So buckle up, 49ers fans. It's going to be fun.
Well, I'll say this. I'm sure Brock Purdy will be fighting to play. Like remember, he was not going to play in the Thursday night game in Seattle in his second game after he got hurt. They were lining up for Josh Johnson, right, to run off.
Oh, yeah.
And Purdy says, nope, let's go. It's going to be me, and he played a great game. He's going to want to play. The second part of that, though, is should he play? I mean, is this a game where maybe you, like, try to borderline it and win it anyway? If you lose, that's not great, but it's not a killer, not at 1-0. If they were 0-1, I would say you got to push everything in to try to stay 1-1. But – You might be able to beat the Saints with Mac Jones. Do you push it with Purdy? Do you push it with anyone else who might be a little banged up? I'm not even sure who that would be right now because everyone else is out, it seems like. Or do you maybe try to, like, you know, they've done this before. It was in a bad year, right? It was 2020 where everyone got hurt? 2020? Yeah, 2020. I think then they sit Sherman and a bunch of guys in that New York thing. It still got everybody hurt. I could see them doing some of that, and that I think Purdy would be the number one candidate for that. I can't even think of someone else. Barros, if it's 50-50, you said Brock Purdy?
Kyle Shanahan on Monday was asked point blank, is it turf toe?
Mm-hmm.
And he paused, and he said, all I have written down in front of me is toe. I don't know. There's no way the head coach doesn't know what the diagnosis is with his $55 million starting quarterback or whatever the number
53,
was.
53. Come on.
Okay. Man. What potato, potato. It's in the 50s. So that tells me that, yeah, it probably is turf toe. And turf toe is one of those things that, you know, it can linger and it can get worse. And by the way, he's playing on turf on Sunday. So, you know, my thought is that he doesn't play and that it's probably wiser that he doesn't play. Kyle Shanahan was also effusive about Mac Jones and how good he looked. I think that's authentic. I don't think that's just coach speak. I think they were happy with Jones. He's probably further along than just about all of their other backups. You know, Sam Darnold, Josh Dobbs last year, both of whom I thought were great. But, you know, Jones picked this up pretty quickly. I would guess, if I had to guess, we're recording this midday Tuesday, is that he doesn't play in this game.
Purdy doesn't play in this game. Judging by your analysis of the Jaguars, you should have Jones play week 3-2 against the Jaguars to just prove that he's better than Trevor Lawrence. Then maybe you trade him back to Jacksonville for a first-round pick or something like that. Now, that was
fantasy team is full of Jaguars this year, and I'm already regretting it.
Full of Jaguars. That's always a great way to go, full of Jaguars. Although I know Brian Thomas was fantastic last year. I guess we go Colton McKivitt signs an extension. We're just going through all the big news that we could have been doing emergency episodes up and down the course here. McKivitt's, 3 years, 45s, that was about 15 a year.
Yeah.
Market price for a tackle. I think 49ers fans maybe have been finally understood how much the 49ers love this guy. And they have not really gone extra contracts for a lot of offensive linemen, except for Trent Williams. They do it for McKivitz, but it does solve something. They don't have to worry about that position, assuming he stays healthy. I think he's getting better, and I think that's just a hard position for them to fill with people they don't know. They like the people that they know, and McKivitz fits that. Here's a question.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, is he better than Jalen Moore? Maybe he is. Moore doesn't start right now, right? Got signed for big money with the Chiefs, and he's a backup.
Yeah, and they need a better starter attack. Yep. The Chiefs, yep, do.
I saw him. He was their third tight end a couple of times, whatever he was. He was, you know, going in motion. I think it's, you know, listen, the 49ers operate differently than most teams, especially on the offensive line. But when they like somebody, I got no issue with them sinking money into them because they weren't going to draft somebody. They clearly haven't done it. They don't have anybody in position to take Austin Pleasance. You know, they can talk a lot about him, but he was inactive on Sunday. You know, kind of their money is, you know, mouth is where their money is or whatever, how that works. They're not going with him. Maybe eventually, but I think McKivitz is a nice right tackle, not a great one. He won't look great all the time, but I absolutely understand this investment. And I think it's like, this is what you want teams to do, is pick the guys they like and just pay money to them.
It's a good investment. I mean, I don't think that the 49ers could have not done this deal. It's basically the same per year that Jalen Moore got. And Jalen Moore doesn't have nearly the track record that Colton McKivitz has. So, I mean, Colton McKivitz obviously is trading potential wealth at the end of the season for, you know, the sure thing right now. You don't know what's going to happen to you over a 17-game period. So it's, you know, to me, it's a bargain for the 49ers. And you and I have talked a lot about their dissatisfaction with college tackles. Yep. And so I think that they believe, okay, we've got one now that we like. We can get him for certainly less than if he played all 17 games like he did the two previous years, and he went on the open market in March, it wouldn't be $15 million a year. It would be way higher than that. So they're getting a bit of a cut rate. You know, McKivitz is getting insurance, reassurance right now by doing the deal now. So that's what he was thinking. You could also argue that he was the best tackle on the 49ers on Sunday. Trent Williams did not have a good game. Maybe that's kind of week one kinks. When you're as old as he is, maybe you need a few games to get ready. He does not play in the preseason. He doesn't get a lot of practice during the week, although he does go up against Nick Bosa. So you would think that would sharpen him. But, I mean, it's absolutely possible that, you know, the end could be coming for him. And so, you know, the 49ers would be really out of luck if they didn't have either of their 2025 starting tackles in 2026 and beyond. So, you know, it makes sense for a lot of reasons.
I think Trent looked great on run blocking, maybe not on the – I think Trent on artificial surface is going to be a tough situation for him. You know, that ankle bending against those big guys coming around the edge, that might be where you begin to see the age showing or the injuries pile up. But I thought he looked fantastic run blocking. I saw some highlights when he's just plowing people over. McCaffrey's runs to the left were very good. You know, it's the same
old. You're right. McCaffrey to the left was better than McCaffrey to the right on Sunday.
I thought, you know, you just saw that, you know, things moving that direction, which you almost always do with 71. But you look at the offensive line. Now, we'll see with Trent, and we'll see. But you got McKivitz signed. You got Pooney, obviously a draft pick. He's got several more years left. You've got Brendel, the center. You know, not a great center, but they like him. And you've got Barch, I guess, is your long-term left guard. I mean, maybe you have others, people that you can move there. But it's gone from a very jumbled situation to pretty status quo. And it's in a typical 49er way. They're going with their guys. These are who they like. And many other analysts or draft people don't love these guys, but they like them. And, you know, they win a game with it. We'll see how it keeps going. They're, you know, it's pretty soft schedules I keep mentioning, but they will come against better defensive lines into the future. But the Seahawks are solid defensive line. You know, There's some big dudes on that defensive line. 49ers looked okay. Not great, but looked okay. And, you know, obviously look a lot better when Christian McCaffrey's running the ball, but it looked very solid. By the way, I just have to mention, Jordan Mason looked pretty freaking good.
Yes, he did.
I had to point that out. Javon Hargrave, that's not one I criticize the 49ers for. That one was a rough one. Javon Hargrave looked better there than he looked for the 49ers the entire time. He looked incredible. Two sacks, pressure up the middle all the time. But I'll just say, Jordan Mason, I've heard that the Vikings love him. You've heard the same thing. He's going to be their number one running back. I don't think there's a question. The way he ran the ball, they were giving it to him at the end. They're giving it to him in short yardage. I just like the Vikings did not trade for him because they thought he was mediocre. I know all these 49er fans are sure that he's terrible, that he couldn't deliver. 5 yards per carry average for the four, in excess of five, including last year. He did get hurt. He fumbled a time or two, but so did McCaffrey in the Super Bowl. Like, this stuff happens sometimes. I think he's really good, and I'm not sure why the 49ers just felt the need that they couldn't have him on the team anymore. But they did. I understand. They won. Let's see what Brian Robinson looks like. I will give him last week as kind of an adjustment period, but he did not look good, and Barros was very tough on him in the minutia minute, but I agree with you. He just looked kind of like he wasn't sure where to run. He looked kind of like hesitant or something, and that's not great, but maybe, you know, he'll figure it out. Not exactly a Kyle Shanahan, you know, one cut guy, but then why did you acquire him if he wasn't quite that kind of guy? But we'll see. They won the game, and we'll see what they can do to win the next one. If they can get through that, man, if they get through that without Purdy, and if Purdy's nice and healthy for the next one, they're set up, because the next big one is at Rams. Well, they got the Cardinals right week four. Then they're at the Rams week five on a quick turnaround. Those are big games. They want as many people healthy back for that. But as we know, they will get more injuries in the meantime. They will never be completely healthy. That does not exist in the NFL. Any other news bits that we got? There's like so much stuff going on with this team. I can't keep track of all of it.
I wrote down Chase Young on my
Chase Young. Here.
Yeah, oh, it's because you were talking about. Talking about Trent Williams not being great on turf.
Didn't he miss? He missed game week one though.
Yeah, he did. I don't know if he's healthy for week two, but yeah. Tim seems to be signaling a Chase Young 5-6
No. I was right about Bosa with the one sack, by the way.
Oh, Seattle. You barely got that one. Close. It wasn't even a sack, really. He just kind of. Lucas's butt caused a fumble.
As an offensive tackle told me in the locker room, that is the most embarrassing thing for a tackle, is to have to get pushed into the quarterback and cause a fumble. That is embarrassing. But it's Nick Bosa, man. I mean, that guy's good.
By the way, he had one sack. He was outstanding.
He was.
On Sunday. He was coming off the snap faster than everybody. Actually, I thought he and Bryce Huff both, you know, were firing off the ball more quickly than I've seen 49ers DNs do in a long time. Sam Okwuanu, I thought, had a great game. Yetur Gross-Matos, a guy that I wasn't even sure was going to play.
I was sure he wasn't going to play.
How could he play? He didn't practice at all. Yeah. Spring, summer, no practice. He lined up exclusively at defensive tackle. On Sunday. So, you know, he might be listed as a DN. Well, he wasn't on Sunday. He was a D tackle and he was effective. He had as many pressures as Bosa did in the game and way fewer snaps. I think he played 14 pass rush snaps and he had 3 pressures on those 14 snaps. That's a fantastic rate. So the D-line came through. The two rookies didn't play much at all. We expected that. You know, this is what they are expected to do right now, is get in a little bit and learn so that, you know, week 15, 16, 17, they're better. But I thought that the guys who did play stepped up really well. Kalia Davis had a tackle for loss.
Yep.
Jordan Elliott, you know, maybe not a lot of stats, but he was in the backfield a lot. He was causing havoc a lot. So that group plus the linebacker group, I thought, really probably were the difference in this game.
Yeah, when you see Winters and you see Fred obviously flying around, part of that is that blockers aren't getting to him because the DTs and the ends, at least the ones who are kind of moving on the interior, are eating up the blockers and allowing these linebackers to run to the ball. And that, I mean, you just saw both linebackers just flying to the ball. And that is reminiscent of the great 49ers teams. We've seen that before against the Seahawks. We've seen it before in a few different iterations. And that's when the 49ers are at their best. When they got a defense that plays like that, it gets the ball. I presume they're going to have a good game against New Orleans. I mean, I don't think either of us expected Spencer Rattler to eat them up. Maybe a low-scoring game. Maybe the kicker kicks a game winner. That would give you a story, Barrows. I would hand-deliver you another story. I will not be in New Orleans, so I expect you to chart those kicking. Please do. And I will be there week three back at Levi's Stadium, and I will be charting. And one more time, thank you, Levi's Stadium, for those big video boards. I really do appreciate them. One more time. We'll get Levi's Stadium to sponsor. No, we better not.
Yeah, maybe we should get a pair of jeans. I've got a 28-inch waist, if anybody.
I just got an offer it just shows you maybe this podcast is doing well, because an offer looking for a female influencer to get a free trip to Aruba, and then they will and they'll give you an ad on the show. Can you talk a first person trip to Aruba? Unfortunately, I cannot do that. But
do we get to go with?
I liked it because it showed that the numbers are good. And we're getting a different sort of advertising offer, and I get to see them, and I approve most of them. I don't do them, maybe once in a while if it's the right product. But that one was interesting that we're at the level, the numbers are at the level we're getting that one. Never mind that. I never mind that. Even if you're not going to hear about me sunbathing in Aruba, not going to happen. All right, Barrows, that's enough.
What a way to end this.
I was thinking about influencers, all the influencers, all that YouTube game was all those influencers all over the place. It was interesting. All right, Barrows, so much going on. Maybe there won't be another emergency episode. There might not be another episode at all, although I think we will look to the week, maybe later in the week when there's a better idea if Mac Jones is going to be quarterback. We'll talk a little bit about that. So much going on. And, hey, it's good for business. It just keeps you and I on our toes. Man alive, we are glassing out these shows, but, hey, good to do them. All right, Barrows, show for today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.